This is Luke, my pastor at Walnut Creek Church downtown. We're so glad that you found this resource, and we hope that it strengthens and encourages your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do want to remind you, this is not to take place of gathering with God's people on Sunday morning. It is just a resource. And so if you don't have a home church, we'd love to invite you to Walnut Creek Church downtown. You can find more information about the church in the description, as well as our other locations in the Des Moines area. And if you're not in the Des Moines area, we'd encourage you to find a gospel preaching church. Again, we hope that you are strengthened and encouraged in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ as you listen to this message.
My wife, Meg, and I, we got married on June 22nd, 2007. My son, Quinn, was born on March 24th, 2008. That is 9 months and 2 days after we got married, for those of you who were counting. And in some ways, I was not quite ready to meet my son, Quinn. I was excited for him to be born, but I will never forget the first time I saw him. The moment I saw Quinn, I knew that I would love that boy for the rest of my life. And I was stunned by the idea that I would joyfully die for him. Even though I don't know him, I just met him, but I would joyfully, gladly die for my son. And it is because he is my son. Shortly after that, God gave us a set of twins, Rex and Mila. God gave us a buy one, get one free deal, which was gracious of him. And then we had our son Titan, and then our son Jet. God gave us 5 kids in 4 years and 10 months. And here they are. They're not all grown up yet, but they are growing up. And for my wife and I, these kids, they are the best part of our lives. Every day is richer and fuller because of these kids. And as you know, raising kids is a massive responsibility. I mean, what responsibility could be more important than raising your kids? God has entrusted us with these human beings. I mean, all children, they're created in the image of God, and God has sovereignly given the children that you have to you. And I know that not everyone here is a parent. I know that many of you, you've raised kids and your kids are not in your home, but it is a massive, as you know, it is a massive responsibility to become a parent. And it's an expensive responsibility. Kids cost more and more money all the time. It's an exhausting responsibility. It's a stressful responsibility. Someone posted this. I thought it was pretty good. This is parenting at 8 a.m., and then here's parenting at 8 p.m. A lot of you know this experience. You get to the very end of the day, you're pulling your hair out, and you're thinking, oh my goodness, how does this work? And so it's a massive responsibility. It's an expensive responsibility. It's a stressful responsibility, but most importantly, it is a glorious responsibility. It is a glorious thing to be a parent. It is a glorious thing to have children. And my goal this morning is that you will joyfully accept the glorious responsibility of raising your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. That you will joyfully accept the glorious responsibility of raising your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And like I said, many of you are not parents quite yet, but more than likely at some point in your life, God will give you kids. And so to help us think through this glorious responsibility, now, I want to give you 3 priorities in parenting. 3 priorities in parenting. Much more could be said, but here are 3 priorities in parenting from our text. Number one, help your children obey and honor you. Help your children obey and honor you. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Parents, you are responsible for teaching your children to honor and obey you. This is your responsibility. How else could a 2-year-old or a 10-year-old know that they are to honor and obey you? Christian parents must be filled with God's Spirit. They must walk in humility, and they must teach their children to honor and obey them. Why? Why must you teach your children to honor and obey you? In our culture today, this is a crazy thought, that you would insist that your children obey you, that you would insist that your children honor you. But this is straightforward in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So why? Why should you do this? Well, there are many reasons, but I'm going to give you 2. First is that your life is at stake. Your life is at stake in your parenting. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, the first of the 10. So the command to honor your parents is commandment number 5. It's in the top 5. And it is the first of the 10 commandments with a promise. The promise is in verse 3. So that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life in the land. The you here is referring to the nation of Israel. So when God gives this promise, verse 3, so that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life in the land, the you applies to the parent and to the kids and to society. For everyone involved, it is in everyone's best interest that children obey their parents in the Lord. And you get this sense that your well-being and your life is tied up with the well-being of your children. When you have kids, it just becomes so clear that if your kids are not doing well, that's going to impact you. If your kids are doing well, that's going to impact you. That your life is tied up in your children. Proverbs 15:20 says, a wise son brings joy to his father. A wise son brings joy to his father. You know, when you have kids, your life is permanently rearranged. When you have kids, your life is forever changed because your heart is forever changed. And because of these kids, you begin to see the world differently. You look at life through a different lens because of your kids. When I was single and I was in college, I remember I would see a Ferrari go by or a Porsche go by, and I would stop and I would look and I'd say, wow, that's an incredible car. But I don't stop to look at Porsches anymore. Now it's like if a Toyota Sienna drives by, I'm like, wow, is that a Sienna? A brand new Sienna? Built-in vacuum? hybrid model? You can put 10 kids in there. But I don't look at Porsches that way anymore, but I do look at vans that way, and it's because of my kids. You begin to see your life through the lens of your kids, because your heart is tied up in your children. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind. Is there anything you worry about more than your kids? No. Your life is tied up in them. And so Solomon says, discipline your children, train your children, and they will give you peace of mind, and they will make your heart glad. They will make your heart glad. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is his father's ruin. A foolish son is his father's ruin. To have a foolish son, it brings ruin to your parents. Proverbs 17:21, a man fathers a fool to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. The father of a fool has no joy. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. A foolish son is grief to his father. To have a foolish son, it brings grief to the heart of a father and bitterness to the one who bore him. One man said, there is no joy like family joy, and there is no pain like family pain. Your life might be going great. When it comes to your career, you might be in great shape physically. You might have all the money that you ever want. But if your kids are not doing well, it's difficult to enjoy life. When your kids live in rebellion to God, it is hard to enjoy life. And so in verse 3, when it says, so that it may go well with you, and that you may have long life in the land, he's not only speaking to the kids, he's speaking to the parents as well. Your life is at stake in your parenting. And I say this because it's so easy to be distracted by all the other pursuits in life, and we forget about our kids. Your children are the most important investment of your life by far. It's the most important investment of your life. The second reason you need to train your kids to honor and obey you is because your children are at stake. Your children are at stake. You can be a perfect parent and your kids can run off the tracks. Or you can be a terrible parent and your kid turns into Billy Graham. That's a possibility. God is gracious. And you might do everything right and your kids end up in big trouble because kids are individuals. They're little human beings and they're growing up and they make their own choices. However, parents have an enormous influence in the lives of their children. Parents carry the responsibility to raise their children in the Lord. And the foundational principle in parenting when it comes to raising your kids is that your kids must obey you. Your children must honor you. And they must obey you for their good, that they might know the blessing of God. Now, some will say, well, it doesn't feel quite right to insist that our children obey us. It feels like you're on a power trip. And there are certainly parents who are on power trips. They love these verses because they can dominate their kids, and those are bad parents. But see, God is not asking you to be on a power trip. He's asking you to love your kids. He's asking you to love your kids. And when it comes to loving your kids, it's not about you feeling comfortable. It's about pursuing their highest good. And see, when children learn to honor and obey their parents, they will experience the blessing of God in their lives. Ephesians 6:3, so that it may go well with you, children. God's heart, his aim in the command is the blessing of children, the blessing of your children. But they must learn to obey their parents. They must learn to honor their parents. You know, there have been many times in our family when we've looked at our kids and we've said, kids, there's a God in heaven and he loves you. There's a God in heaven and he loves you and he has put our family together. And he sent his son into the world to die on the cross for our sins because we are sinners. And so we're going to be imperfect parents. But the God of heaven who loves us, who made us and loves us, sent his son to die for us, is asking you to obey me, to obey us, to honor us. And for your own good, you must obey. For your own good, you must learn how to honor your parents. And certainly when you're a kid, it's very difficult to see how your parents are always right because they're not always right. The verse 1 does not say, children, obey your parents in the Lord because they are always right. That's not what it says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord because it is right. It is right. It is fitting. The way it fits with the way God has designed the family to work, that children would obey their parents in the Lord. And this is an opportunity for your children to learn how to trust God. Your kids, you want your kids to learn how to trust God and obey God from the heart. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This pleases the Lord. It pleases God when he sees a child trusting their parents and obeying their parents. And there are times when we have conversations with our kids and we go back and forth. And as a parent, you want your kids to talk to you. In fact, you want your kids to disagree with you so you can have conversations. And sometimes my kids, they will sense that I'm out of touch with something and they will call Cap. Have you heard that phrase before? They'll say, that's Cap, Dad. That's Cap. That's not right. And then we go back and forth and we have these conversations. But at the end of the day, what I want for my kids is I want them to learn how to obey God. I want them to learn how to obey God. So it's not just about me having my way in my home. It's about my children learning how to obey God from the heart. And one of the most important lessons your kids need to learn is that God blesses obedience. He blesses obedience. He sees your obedience, and he will bless you. And so we are to honor our father and mother. We are to obey our parents. This is what the Lord Jesus is asking of our children. Priority number 2 is win the hearts of your children. Win the hearts of your children. You want your kids to honor you and obey you, but at a much deeper level, you want the hearts of your children. You want to win the hearts of your children. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Now, why does Paul address fathers? Why doesn't he say fathers and mothers? Don't stir up anger in your children. Well, there are a couple of reasons. And it's important to understand when Paul says fathers, that includes mothers. But he's specifically addressing the fathers because fathers carry the unique responsibility to raise their children. That men, husbands, fathers are the head of their home. And this is a good thing. God has made men the head of their home for the good of their wife and their children. And so this means if Jesus Christ, he's walking down the street, and he hears that there's a problem in your home, in your marriage, with your children, when he knocks on the door, he's going to talk to you first. He's going to go after the man of the house. Even if it's 100% the fault of your spouse. Even if your wife is off her rocker, she's your responsibility. Even if your kids are out of their mind, they're your responsibility. The first person he's going to call to give an account is the man of the house. And so Paul says, fathers. He addresses fathers first. Another reason is that fathers shape the identity of their children more than anyone else in the world. Mothers obviously shape their identity, the identity of their children in some very unique ways. But fathers shape the identity of their children more than anyone else in the world. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged and the glory of children. Think about this for a moment. The glory of children. What do children take pride in? What do children glory in? And the glory of children is their fathers. The glory of a little girl is her dad. The glory of a little boy is his dad. Several years ago, many years ago actually, one of my boys had a friend over and we were having lunch together. And this friend looked at me and he says, "You work out a lot, Mr. Dan." He goes, "I bet you have a six-pack." That's what he said at the table. He goes, "I bet you have a six-pack." And before I could respond, my son, who invited his friend over, he said, "My dad doesn't have a six-pack." And I thought, he knows too much. He knows too much. He goes, "My dad doesn't have a six-pack." He goes, "He has an eight-pack." And I said, "Son, I appreciate your impulse to brag about me. That's really good. But you need to know what a six-pack is, and I don't have one of those. You know, it's covered by layers of blubber, obviously. So you don't need to say that. You don't need to say that. But what I appreciated about that is the impulse. It just became clear. The impulse of my son to defend me, to brag about me. And that's in the hearts of your kids. I mean, who wants their dad to be a loser? Anybody want that? Nobody wants that. When you're a kid, your glory is your father. And so this means that God has positioned the father in the home to shape the identity of their children in a unique way. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children." Don't do that. Or another translation says, "Do not exasperate your children." So fathers, mothers, don't exasperate your children. How do you exasperate your children? I'm going to give you the three most common ways that fathers exasperate their children. The way that fathers stir up anger in their children. And this is really important because no father says, "Today, I will exasperate my children." Nobody says that. And no child goes to their dad saying, "Daddy, you're exasperating me." Doesn't happen. And so you need to know that this is something that happens on accident, not on purpose. So how do fathers exasperate their children? The three most common ways. Number one, ignoring your children. Ignoring your children by not paying attention to them. It's when you live a distracted life. You come home from work and you're physically home, but mentally someplace else. You're physically home, but totally distracted. And this is what dads say to themselves. "I'm focused on what I need to do to provide for our family." Kids say, "My dad is not interested in me." Dads say, "I'm taking care of things that only I can take care of." Kids say, "My dad is not interested in me." And so if you understood this, and kids don't even understand that's what's happening, it's something that happens over the course of time. And so you don't want your kids to think, "My dad is too distracted to focus on me." This is one of the most common ways that fathers exasperate their kids. Number two, withholding affection from your children. Withholding affection from your children. There's a man in the church, I was talking to him one time, and he just mentioned that he has no memory in his life of his dad ever hugging him. He has no memory. "My dad never touched me. He never hugged me." He has no memory of it. And that is far too common. And so sometimes dads will not know exactly, how do I engage with my kids physically? And so we just stay away and we withhold physical affection. But what might be more devastating is withholding verbal affection. You know, how is a kid supposed to know how to think about himself? Take a 5-year-old little girl. How is she supposed to know how to think about herself? Take an 8-year-old little boy. How is he supposed to know how to think about himself? The answer is their dad. Their dad. Their mom. Yes. Dad plays a unique role in the identity formation of their kids. Kids wear the words of their fathers like clothing. Kids wear the words of their fathers like clothing. This is why so many of you have the words of your parents still ringing in your head. Things that were said to you as a child that still ring in your ears. You know, one scholar said, if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child learns or lives with encouragement, he learns to be confident. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to trust. If a child lives with approval, he learns to accept himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns how to find love in the world. Dads, your words or lack of words are shaping the identity of your kids more than you understand. They have a profound identity-shaping influence on your kids. Your kids need your voice more than you know. Mark chapter 1, verse 10 says, as soon as he, being Jesus, came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. This is a huge moment in the life of Jesus. He's just starting his ministry. He was baptized in the Jordan River. He was given the Holy Spirit. And a voice comes from heaven. Here's the voice, 11. A voice came from heaven. This is what God the Father says about his Son in the presence of all these people. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. And parents, this is what your kids need to hear. They need to hear this from you. You are my beloved Son. With you, I'm well pleased. I mean, so many kids, they don't always know, where do I stand with my parents? My parents like me. They want to be around me. They're trying to figure out their life. And what they need to hear from you over and over and over again, you are my son. You are my daughter. My beloved daughter. With you, I'm well pleased. You've made my life better every day of my life. Or you've made every day of my life better because of who you are. You're my daughter. You're my son. They need to hear that from you more than you understand. And they need to know that you love them and their place in the family is not based on their behavior. In fact, they need to hear, you are my beloved son. With you, I'm well pleased. Often when they fail. Because otherwise, they'll begin to think, my dad loves me. My mom loves me because of what I do. But that's not the way it works. I love you because you're my son. I love you because you're my daughter. And they need to hear this over and over and over and over again, because this is the way God loves us, that in Christ, God is well pleased with us. We stand as sons of God, daughters of God, purchased by the blood of Christ. So your kids need your voice more than you know. Number three, the third way you can exasperate your kids is by exhibiting emotional volatility. You're unpredictable emotionally. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. How do you do that? Primary way is by being angry. It's by being angry. And see, dads can struggle with anger, just like human beings, just like women. I mean, everybody can struggle with anger, but sometimes dads at home, they can struggle with anger more than they even realize. And one of the ways to provoke your children to anger is by being angry yourself. And see, anger is extremely effective when your kids are young. You want to get your kids to do something? Get angry at them. You're bigger than them. You're stronger than them. You can intimidate them. You're smarter than them. I mean, you get angry, you can get them to move. You want to get them to be quiet? You can just get angry at them. The problem is that as they grow up, they realize, oh no, this is not right. And they get angry themselves. And see, kids need to know when dad gets home, what dad is going to be like. What will dad be like? Is he going to be happy? Is he going to be sad? Is he going to be angry? Is he going to be depressed? Is he going to be disengaged? Is he going to be annoyed? Can I laugh when my dad's home? Or can I not? Can I wrestle with him? Can I not? Can I tease him? Can I not? And see, kids need to know. And so this means that as dads, you must be emotionally stable. You must be the rock of your family emotionally. You must learn how to rejoice in the Lord and model what it looks like to love God, to be strong. This is what is required of us. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. This is speaking of the descendants of Israel, the people of Israel, but this is a parenting principle. Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And I remember reading this years ago, and I was thinking to myself, he doesn't have a face. God is spirit. There's no face. He doesn't have a face. So what does this even mean? Context, this is how you are to bless the sons of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you. What does that mean? Smile. Smile. May God smile upon his children and be gracious to you. Verse 26, the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. He doesn't have a face. What does that mean? May the Lord turn his attention to you and smile upon you. And I think as dads, that's what we're aiming at. We want when our kids think of us. I mean, when you think of your dad, what is your dad's face like? Can you envision your dad's face? I think our goal should be that when our kids think of us, they think of our face shining, smiling, with their face fixed upon them as kids. And see, this is such a powerful thing for us to understand in parenting, that our emotions and the way we carry ourselves in our homes matters so much. It makes such a big difference. And so we must not stir our kids up to anger. Instead, we should win their heart. What are we doing in our parenting? We're trying to win their hearts. And this is a little illustration that I think has been helpful for me. If you're trying to raise your kids in the Lord, here's the road. We're trying to raise our kids. First, what they need is instruction in the Lord. They need to learn the Word of God. Then we need an example worth following. And the goal is to win their hearts. So what are we trying to do along the way as we're trying to raise them in the Lord? Give them the instruction of God's Word. Give them an example and pursue their heart. Give them the instruction from God's word that they need, that we need. Give them an example worth following and go after their heart. Win their hearts. Win their trust. Proverbs 23, 26, Solomon says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." Give me your heart. You must go after your heart, your kids' hearts. I want to win their heart. I don't want to just create robots who know the rules. I want to go after their hearts. How do you win your kids' hearts? And let your eyes delight in my ways. If your kids do not delight in your ways, it'll be very difficult to win their heart. So you win their heart by giving them a life that is worth following. And so this means as men, you must be noble. You must work hard. You must love the Bible and love the church and love their mom and be sacrificial and be courageous and have friends and do hard things and don't make excuses and be humble and apologize when you're wrong. You need to provide the example that is worth following. Now, why must you win their hearts? Well, Solomon tells us, verse 27, "For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men." You must win your kids' hearts because the world is coming after your children. The world is coming after the hearts of your children. Women will go after the hearts of your sons, and men will go after the hearts of your daughters. And you must win their heart. You must have their heart. And when you have an example that's worth following, it is a powerful safeguard against foolishness, against going off the road. You know, so this is something, I'm not saying I'm perfect at this, I'm far from it, but in my marriage, I want to have the type of marriage that my kids would want to have. Because in parenting my kids, if I can look at my sons and say, "Sons, do you want to have the type of marriage that I have with your mom?" And if they say yes, then I can say, "Then don't do that." But if they look at you and they say, "I don't want your marriage is a joke," why would they listen to you about relationships? If you don't have a life that's worth following, and you don't have to be perfect, but if you don't have a life that's worth following, it is very difficult to persuade them to go down the path that you are going down. And so we must work hard to go after their hearts, to give them an example and give them the instruction that they need. And so number two, priority number two is aim at their heart. Spend time with them, look at them, listen to them. And no, I got to win their hearts. Priority number three is bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Your kids need to learn a lot. Sometimes I just forget. My kids don't know anything. I mean, they're just, why would I expect them to know all the things that I know if I have not taught them? And so we can just assume that they're going to learn all these things, but a lot of times they don't learn everything that they need to learn. Right now I have three teenagers who are on the road, and when one of them, this one will remain nameless, but when this one was able to drive, my wife was on the phone and said, hey, do you have enough gas in your car? And the response was, how do I know how much gas I have? I hope that makes you feel more comfortable sharing the road with them. But how do I know how much gas I have? And I thought, what do you mean? But then I thought, has anyone ever taught you where the gas gauge is? And there is so much to teach your kids. So many things that you assume your kids are picking up, but they may not be. And so your responsibility as a parent is to prioritize teaching them the Word of God. It doesn't say you need to raise them to be the greatest athletes of all time, the greatest actors of all time, the greatest academics of all time. It doesn't say you need to teach them all about the stock market or how to fish or how to change the oil in your car. There are many wonderful things that we can and should teach our kids, but we must teach them first about the Word of God. And so I want to give you just four quick tips on teaching your kids the Word of God. Number one is be consistent. Yeah, you need to be consistent. And what I mean by that is you should pick a time that's consistent in your schedule. And you should talk about the Word of God as often as it makes sense. You know, whenever things come up, you should open up the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing. But you want to have some set times in your life. So like in our world, I'm not saying you got to do this, but in our world, after we have a meal together, we will spend 10, 15, 20 minutes in the Word of God together. Some people do that before bed. Some people do that when they get up in the morning. I don't really care when, but just be consistent. Find a time and be consistent. You don't need an hour every day. You just need a little bit of time where you can instruct your kids in the Lord. Number two is be patient. You need to be patient in teaching your kids. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience in teaching. Now, this is addressing pastors, but this principle applies to parents as well in teaching their kids, that we are to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience, incredible patience, extreme patience with our kids. And part of the reason is that when your kids are young, it often feels like they're not learning anything. They're not learning anything at all. Like you're sitting down, you're reading the Bible, and it's like nothing is connecting. One time I was sharing the gospel with my kids, and I gave a great gospel presentation, in case you're wondering. I mean, it was a great gospel presentation. John chapter 3, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What is sin? What does it mean to believe in him? Great gospel presentation, okay? I get done, and one of my kids says, hey, Dad, why do you have hair right here? Why do you have hair right here? I said, I don't. He goes, yeah, you do. And then another kid said, no, he doesn't. And so a fight broke out over whether or not I have a unibrow after the greatest gospel presentation in the history of the world. And so like there are times when you're talking to your kids and it's like, it just feels like nothing is sinking in. But what they need to learn when they're little is that the Word of God matters to mommy. That this book matters to mommy and to daddy. That this is how we live our lives. And so be patient. Be patient. Number three, be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Be thoughtful in the way that you instruct your kids. What you're going to realize as a parent, as your kids get older, is that you cannot teach them everything you want them to learn. You cannot teach them everything you want them to know. You can't do it. I mean, when I first had kids, I remember thinking to myself, my kids are going to know Latin, and they're going to know Greek and Hebrew, and I'm just struggling to teach them English right now. I mean, it's hard. There's so much to teach your kids, and it's good to teach them a lot, but you're not going to be able to teach them everything you want them to know. And so you should prioritize what you want them to learn. So moms and dads, here's my encouragement for you. You should ask each other that question. Take out a piece of paper and just ask each other that question. When our kids leave our home, what do we want them to know? You write something down as a husband, you write something down as a wife, and see how your lists line up. In our home, there are three things we want our kids to know. You come up with your own stuff. One, that the Bible is the Word of God. Two, we want them to know what the gospel is. What is the good news of the gospel? And number three, we want them to prioritize humility. We want them to be humble. Those are the three things we want them to learn by the time they leave our home. So just be thoughtful. And you can have a list of 10 things. I don't care. But you're not going to be able to teach them everything. So be thoughtful in what you want to teach them. Tip number four is be obedient. Be obedient. Part of the training and instruction of the Lord is modeling for them how to live according to the word. And so this is one of the ways you do this, is you just ask them. Ask them the question, why do we go to church? Why do we go to church? And they might say, well, our friends are there or whatever. And there's a lot of good reasons, but just say, this is why we go. Do you have a verse for that? This is why we go. Why do we read our Bible? Do you have a verse for that? Why do you pray? Why do you love your enemies? Why do you pray for people to become Christians? Why do you give? Why do you serve? Why do you evangelize? Just the Christian life. Just say, hey, do you know why we do this? And they might know why and they might not. But helping them connect the way you live to the Word of God is quite powerful. One father, I read this week, and one dad, he's a grandpa at this point in his life. And this is what he said. He was reflecting on how he parented his kids. And he said this, if I were starting my family again, I would love my wife more in front of my children. I would laugh with my kids more at our mistakes and joys. I would listen more, even to the smallest child. I would be more honest about my own weaknesses, never pretending to be better than I am. I would pray differently for my family. Rather than focusing on them, I would focus on me. I would do more things together with my children. I would be more encouraging. I would bestow more praise. I would pay more attention to the little things, to the little deeds, to the little words. But mostly, I would love God more, every day seeking to adore him in front of them. And I think that is the central issue in parenting, is adoring Christ in front of your kids. Not for show, but because you love them. You love God. And when your kids leave the home, what you want them to know is that mom and dad love each other, and mom and dad love Christ more than anything. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you.